Okay, so we're diving into something pretty big today. The education system in Oklahoma. It's definitely making headlines, and we wanted to take a look at what's happening there, specifically around Superintendent Ryan Walters and all the policies that he's been introducing.
Yeah, he's been making some big changes.
Huge changes. And that sparked, quite a bit of controversy.
A lot of debate.
Yeah, a lot of debate. We've got a bunch of different sources here that we've been looking at articles about his initiatives, different people's reactions to what's happening, and then some pieces that are really even questioning,
The fundamentals.
the fundamentals of this whole thing.
Yeah, like what is education even supposed to be about, you know?
Right, exactly. There's this one article from Christian Culture News
Oh, yeah.
that called it a holy war.
I saw that one.
Yeah, a holy war in Oklahoma classroom. So, I
That's
mean,
pretty dramatic.
that's pretty dramatic, right? So we're gonna really try to get under the skin of all this today.
Yeah.
What are the central debates going on right
What are
now?
the different viewpoints that are being expressed in all these articles?
Yeah, we're looking at, educators, parents, community leaders, like everybody's got something to say about this.
Yeah. And then what could this mean, in the long run for students in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
What's the future of education going to look like in that state?
It's a big question, and I think what really jumps out from all these different articles is just how much Walters is trying to change.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
the scope of these reforms, it's really wide-ranging.
It's huge.
Yeah. And it's not just like a quiet rollout either. I mean, there's pushback
Oh, yeah.
from every corner, it seems like educators, parents, people in the community. And a lot of it comes down to this fundamental question of what should be taught in schools and how.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely a moment of intense discussion for sure.
Intense is a good word for it. All right, so let's actually take a look at Walters himself.
Okay.
I mean, he's the one driving all this change, so we got to understand, where he's coming from.
The sources we have, they give us a bit of background. He's been a teacher, he's also been an administrator, so he's seen the system from a couple different angles.
Right, both sides of the classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how do you think all that experience, his past, how do you think that kind of feeds into the views he's putting forward now?
Well, if you look at his background and then you look at the things he's saying about education now,
Yeah.
they actually connect pretty directly.
Yeah.
His philosophy is very much rooted in his experiences. And it's pretty clear from what he says and what the articles say that he's got a pretty conservative approach to education.
Okay.
Like he puts a big emphasis on parental involvement,
Okay.
traditional values. He talks a lot about that. And he's pretty skeptical of some of the newer ideas that have been making their way into curricula, like social justice and critical race theory.
Right. And you can actually see that pretty clearly, I think, in a lot of these specific policies he's proposing. Like, it seems like this idea of promoting patriotism and national pride in the classroom is really important to him.
Yeah, and that definitely comes from his own background and beliefs. Like he sees education as this key way to shape how students view their country.
Okay.
And not just that, he's also really big on parental rights.
Right.
He wants parents to have more of a say in how schools are run, and he wants to see more accountability from teachers. And those are all themes that you see running through all these policy proposals we're looking at.
Right. It's like the foundation for everything he's trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if we understand his philosophy, then we can start to make sense of the changes he's making.
Right. Okay. So let's actually dive into those specific changes.
Okay, let's do it.
One of the big ones that keeps coming up is the shift towards what a lot of the sources call a more traditional curriculum.
Yeah, back to basics.
Back to basics. So what exactly does that mean, according to what we've been reading? And what are some of the concerns that people are raising about this shift?
So basically, it means a big focus on those core subjects,
Okay.
reading, writing, math.
Okay, the fundamentals.
Yeah, the fundamentals. The argument is that every student needs a strong foundation in those areas. And I think most people would agree with that. But the concern is that this might come at the expense of other things. Like there's one article that talks about teachers worrying that this focus on rote learning might actually make it harder for kids to develop critical thinking skills. Before they were doing more project-based learning, which really encourages that kind of deeper thinking. But it sounds like that's getting less emphasis now.
Okay, so it's not just about what's being taught, it's also about how it's being taught.
Exactly.
And then on top of that, there's this whole issue of how money is being allocated.
Right, the funding.
Yeah, the sources talk about some pretty big changes. There, a lot of it seems to be directed towards charter schools and school choice initiatives.
Yeah, more options for parents.
So what's the thinking behind that, and who's pushing back against it?
The argument is that if you give parents more choices,
yeah,
then you create more competition between schools.
Okay.
And that competition is supposed to drive up quality.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are worried about what this will do to public schools.
Okay.
They're saying that this shift in funding could really hurt them.
Okay.
You know, it could drain resources and make it harder for them to give kids a good education.
It's like creating this kind of two-tiered system.
Yeah. And that raises some serious questions about fairness. You know?
Right.
Like, is everyone getting access to the same quality of education regardless of their background or where they go to school?
Right. Okay. So we've got curriculum changes, we've got funding changes, and then there's also this whole other piece about teacher evaluation.
Oh, yeah.
The sources mention these new systems that are being put in place, and they seem to be really focused on measurable student outcomes.
Yeah, data-driven.
It's data-driven,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, on the surface, it sounds like, okay, that makes sense. You want to hold teachers accountable. But what are some of the other maybe less obvious issues that people are bringing up?
Well, the concern is that focusing too much on things like test scores,
yeah,
doesn't really give you the full picture of what a teacher does.
Okay.
You know, there's so much more to it than that.
Mm.
There's building relationships with students. There's creating a supportive learning environment.
Yeah, the stuff that's harder to measure.
Exactly. And those things are really important, too, but they don't always show up in the data.
Right. And we saw that report from the State Education Association.
Yeah.
Really highlighting how this kind of narrow focus on metrics could end up putting a lot of stress on teachers and actually discouraging them from doing some of those really essential things.
Absolutely. Like supporting students with different learning needs or just being creative and innovative in the classroom.
Right. Right. Okay. And then, of course, we can't ignore the elephant in the room. The really controversial policies around gender identity and race.
Yeah, those are definitely hot button issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sources make it pretty clear that these policies have sparked a ton of opposition and debate.
Huge backlash.
Yeah, so what's at the heart of all that controversy?
I think it really boils down to different ideas about what schools should be doing.
Okay.
Like, how much should they be involved in shaping students' views on these really complex social issues?
Okay.
And the people who are against these policies, they're worried that they'll create a less inclusive environment.
Okay.
You know, they could silence important conversations and make some students feel marginalized.
Right.
So it's really a debate about what kind of education system is best for all students in Oklahoma.
Okay. So with all these changes happening at once, mm-hmm. It's no surprise that people are reacting pretty strongly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to process.
Our sources talk about this sense of unease among teachers.
Yeah. They're definitely feeling the pressure.
Yeah. What are their biggest concerns?
Well, job security is a big one. You know, when the curriculum changes and the standards change, teachers start to worry about whether their skills are still relevant.
Right.
They're wondering if they'll still have a job.
Yeah. And that fear is understandable.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not just about their own jobs. They're also worried about the quality of education that students are getting.
Yeah.
Our sources talk about this concern that standards might be eroded.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are they worried about there?
Well, if the curriculum becomes too narrow.
Okay.
Or if certain subjects get pushed aside,
mm-hmm.
then students might not be getting a well-rounded education.
Okay.
They might not be developing those critical thinking skills that are so important for success in life.
Right. And it's not just teachers who are speaking up. Parents are getting involved too, and it sounds like there's a lot of discontent.
A lot of strong opinions.
Yeah. What are some of the main things that parents are bringing up?
A lot of parents are worried that their kids are going to get a less enriching education. You know, they want their kids to be exposed to lots of different ideas and perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But they're concerned that these changes might limit that.
Okay. So they're kind of on the same page as the teachers in some ways.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of overlap there.
It's interesting, though, because the sources also talk about this other side of the story.
Right.
Like there are people who are actually in favor of these changes.
Yeah.
They like this idea of a more traditional education system, and they like the focus on certain values.
You see it as a return to the basics.
Right. So it's not like everybody's against Walters.
Yeah, not at all.
There's definitely this divide in the community.
Yeah. And it really highlights how differently people think about what education should be.
Right. So we've got this local debate happening,
mm-hmm.
but it also feels like it's tied into this much bigger national conversation about education.
Absolutely. This is not just an Oklahoma thing.
what's happening in Oklahoma is kind of a microcosm of what's happening all over the country.
Yeah, it's like a case study in the national debate about education. And that debate is really heated right now.
Yeah.
It's become this central battleground for all these different political and ideological beliefs.
Right. And you can see that really clearly in the sources. Like, there's this whole alignment of conservative groups.
Yeah.
Who are very much in favor of Walter's approach.
They like his focus on parental rights and local control.
Right. And that message seems to be resonating with a lot of people.
Yeah. It's tapping into a real sense of concern among some parents that they're losing their voice in their kids' education.
Okay, but then on the flip side, you've got these progressive groups who are really pushing back against these policies.
Yeah, they're not happy.
What are their main arguments?
Well, they're really concerned about inclusivity.
Okay.
They want to make sure that all students feel welcome and respected in school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're worried that these new policies will create a less inclusive environment.
Okay.
They also don't like this idea of imposing a specific ideology on students.
Right.
They believe in a more diverse and open approach to education.
So it's like this fundamental clash of values.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really interesting how these debates seem to be breaking down along party lines.
Yeah, it's pretty stark.
You know, you look at the polls and it's like, Democrats say this, Republicans say that.
It's become so polarized.
Yeah, it's hard to even have a conversation sometimes.
Yeah, because everything gets filtered through this partisan lens.
Right, and then you've got groups like teachers' unions and parent organizations getting pulled into the fight.
Oh, yeah. They become like proxies for the larger political battle.
Oh, right. And then on top of all that, you've got the media.
Right.
Which is playing a pretty big role in how this whole thing is being portrayed.
Absolutely.
Like we talked about earlier, some outlets are using some pretty strong language.
Yeah. Holy war. That's a pretty loaded term.
Yeah. And that kind of framing can really have an impact on how people understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It can make it seem like there's no middle ground.
Right.
Like it's just this us versus them situation.
And that makes it really hard to have a productive conversation.
Right. And some of the sources also talk about how the media sometimes focuses too much on the most extreme viewpoints.
Yeah, they love the controversy.
Yeah, and that can give people a really skewed perception of what's actually happening.
Right, it makes it seem like everyone's on one extreme or the other.
Right, and then you add social media into the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Which can really amplify those extreme voices.
And create echo chambers.
Yeah, where people are just surrounded by information that reinforces their existing beliefs.
So it's harder and harder to get a balanced perspective.
Right. Okay. So at the end of the day, the most important question is, how is all this affecting the students?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what really matters.
And the sources bring up some pretty serious concerns.
Yeah, there are some potential downsides to all this.
Like this worry that a curriculum that's too narrow could actually hurt students' ability to think critically.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And those critical thinking skills are so important for success in life.
Absolutely. You need them for everything.
Yeah, and it's not just about academics either. The sources talk about how students' emotional well-being could be affected too.
Especially if they feel like they're not being included or respected.
Right.
That can be really damaging.
So we have to think about the whole picture.
Yeah, the academic side and the emotional side.
And then the sources also talk about the importance of tracking the long-term effects of these changes.
Yeah, we need to see how this plays out over time.
What kind of data should we be looking at to really understand the impact?
We need to look at things like test scores.
Okay.
Graduation rates, college enrollment, you know, all those metrics that tell us how students are doing.
Right, and we need to track that data over several years.
Exactly, because these changes don't happen overnight.
Okay, so just to zoom out for a second.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how this situation in Oklahoma is part of a much bigger trend.
Yeah, it's not an isolated incident.
The sources talk about how similar things are happening in other states.
All over the country.
Like Florida and Texas, where they've also seen these big fights over what should be taught in schools.
And those fights are getting pretty intense.
Yeah, and the sources point out that it's often about these same issues.
Yeah, like academic freedom and inclusivity.
And then you have places like California, which are kind of a mirror image.
Right.
Where the push for more inclusive curricula is actually facing resistance.
It's the opposite side of the coin.
So it's like this pendulum swinging back and forth across the country.
Yeah, but the underlying tension is the same.
This conflict between different values and visions for education.
And it's playing out in communities everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so looking ahead, what are some of the things that could happen in Oklahoma?
Well, the next elections are going to be really important.
Okay.
They could shift the balance of power and lead to new policies.
So there's a chance things could change course.
Yeah. depending on who gets elected.
And what about the role of these different advocacy groups?
They're going to be key.
How can they make a difference?
Well, they can raise awareness, they can mobilize people, and they can put pressure on policymakers to make changes.
Okay, so they're kind of the driving force behind the push for a more inclusive education system.
Yeah, they're the ones on the ground making things happen.
And then there's this idea of community engagement.
Yeah, like town hall meetings and forums.
Do you think that could actually help bridge the divide?
It's definitely worth a try.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a chance for people to come together and have a real conversation.
Yeah, to hear each other out.
Exactly, and maybe find some common ground.
And then finally, there's this emphasis on teacher training.
Yeah, that's really important.
How can that contribute to a solution?
Well, teachers need to be equipped to handle these really complex issues.
Mm-hmm.
They need the skills and the knowledge to create inclusive classrooms and to facilitate those difficult conversations.
Right. So they're kind of on the front lines of this whole thing.
Absolutely.
All right. So to wrap things up, it's pretty clear that Oklahoma's education system is in a state of flux.
Yeah, big changes happening.
We've got Walter's policies, which have really shaken things up.
Yeah, he's definitely not afraid to make waves.
And those policies are touching on everything from curriculum to funding to teacher evaluation.
And sparking a lot of debate along the way.
Yeah, we've heard from teachers, parents, community leaders, all sorts of different perspectives.
It's a really complex situation.
And it's all happening against this backdrop of national political and ideological divisions.
Which makes it even more challenging.
Yeah. And the media is right there in the middle, shaping the narrative.
Adding fuel to the fire sometimes.
And then ultimately the question is, what's the impact going to be on the students?
Yeah, that's what we need to keep our eye on.
So it's a lot to think about.
A lot of moving parts.
And as we've seen, this isn't just an Oklahoma story.
Yeah, it's a national story.
Similar things are happening all over the U.S.
It's a reflection of where we are as a country.
Right. So here's something for you to consider as we end this deep dive.
Okay.
With all these debates happening across the country,
mm-hmm.
what do you think are the core principles of education that should be universal?
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know, the things that everyone should agree on regardless of their political beliefs.
Yeah, like what are the fundamentals that we should never compromise on?
Right, and then how do we navigate these differences in values?
Yeah, how do we find common ground?
To make sure that every student gets the best possible education.
Because ultimately that's what matters.
Right, exactly. And then one more thing.
Okay.
With all this focus on policy and these big debates,
mm-hmm.
it's easy to forget about the individual student.
Yeah, the kids in the classroom.
So how do their experiences fit into all this?
Right. What are they actually going through?
Yeah, what are their needs, their hopes, their dreams?
That's a really important question.
Yeah, a lot to ponder.
A lot to think about, for sure.
Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into Oklahoma's education system.
It was my pleasure.
It's a complex and evolving situation, and we hope that this conversation has given you a better understanding of what's at stake.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thanks for listening.
And keep those conversations going.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really important.
That's really important.
Yeah, okay.
See you next time.
See you.